stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold. Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. We are at beautiful downtown Tamarack in Beckley, and we're celebrating the class of 1967 Woodrow Wilson High School's 55th reunion. Our first guests today are Paula Poe and Jamel Bowen, and you two were catalyst in getting this thing going, and it's a lot of work. Tell us a little bit about what was involved.
Well, I think Chuck Jarrell and Tom Carr were the main catalyst, and we all got together last summer, just a small group of us, and had a mini reunion, and enjoyed it and decided we needed a big one. So we got started planning, and it's coming together.
And thank God for social media now. You don't have to mail out so much stuff or anything at all. You can, most people are on Facebook or some type of internet. And obviously you two have had some pretty good memories from your high school days. And Jamel, can you share one with us?
I was in a lot of the drama theater classes and performance, and so I did that, and we also had the Honey Deb Sub Deb Club. That was a group of ladies that we got together in seventh grade, and there were several Sub Deb clubs, and we've all stayed connected throughout the years, and it was kind of like a little sorority or whatever, and we have just lots of good memories doing that and having dances and just different activities, and we would do community programs, and so that was really good memories for me.
What about you, Paula?
I agree that I was in a lot of clubs and activities, and the social clubs were fun, all the parties we planned and hosted, and sometimes planning a party is as much fun as the party. It's sort of been the case this weekend, too, so we've had a good time getting ready.
You mentioned the acting. I remember the operetta, Tom Sawyer. Mm-hmm. Were you involved with that?
No. One of our senior class play was The Double Door. And so a couple of us went to WVU to a drama institute, and we got to direct the junior class play as seniors. So it was fun.
I remember Dan Snyder was in some of those activities.
Uh-huh, he was. He's so talented.
He was.
Great guitar.
And I saw him years after graduation. He was playing in a club at Myrtle Beach, and I think he's still doing music and stuff.
Yeah, but I see his posts, and he's got shows all the time.
His brother's at Key West.
Really?
And, yeah, he's been there for 35 years entertaining.
Who was some of your favorite teachers, Paula?
I ended up being a French major in college, so I loved my French class, which is Mrs. Smith. And I liked Mrs. Radcliffe was math, or I think math. Might have been called algebra or something.
Uh-huh.
And she was good. Mrs. Wiseman for English, and we had so many good ones. I took Latin, and I loved Miss Summers. We were very lucky, and as when you leave and move around, you find out we got a wonderful education here in Beckley.
You think it prepared you for life, huh?
Definitely.
What about you, Jamel? Any favorite teachers?
Mr. Wright was a great science teacher, and we had fun and learned so much. So he sticks out as probably one of my favorites. You know, there was a lot of them that felt like they prepared us for college, and I went on to Marshall to be a teacher, so I had a good background to get to do that.
You mentioned Miss Wiseman. I had the privilege of being on staff with her later, and she was near her retirement at that time, but she was so funny. And I had a planning period with her, but great teacher. I never could match her up with her husband.
I know.
They were different as day and night. I mean, but they made a great couple, though. You said that you thought Woodrow prepared you for life, and you were a teacher. Paula, what did you end up doing?
Well, I got a degree in French, and I taught that for a while. So then I ended up in other things. I've been done title searches and lots of interesting things. So.
What keeps you coming back? Why do you come back to the reunions? What?
I still have a brother here, and so I've come, of course, to see family, and then to. There's friends, that lifelong friends that are here, and also the mountains. You just need the mountains.
I think the camaraderie that we've had over the years, and a lot of us still stay in touch. One of our dear friends, Bernice Davidson, is in Scotland, and Paula and we Zoom with her a lot, and so she said she couldn't be here, but we miss her. And,
she's a PhD presenting a program in Scotland.
Yes.
So that's the one person that you would have liked to see.
Yes.
What's the one person you know that's going to be here that you will see that you're looking forward to?
Just one. That's hard. I don't have just one, do you?
I don't have just one either.
What kind of music did you listen to back in the 60s?
Oh, the Beatles, of course.
The Beatles. Oh, any Motown?
Oh Motown, yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Great.
And I'll tell you a story when you said Motown. I also sold real estate in Tennessee, and I showed a house to Diana Ross.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. The Supremes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I like the Motown also,
I
kind of grew up with that, and I like, of course, everybody liked the Beatles. And do you remember the first time you ever heard the Beatles? Where you were?
It was ninth grade. My brother was in college, and he goes, "Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe the Beatles." And I'm like, "What a silly name!" Mm-hmm. But we really did. Paul
and
was
then
my
people
favorite.
Started having those haircuts, mm-hmm. trying to cut their hair that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember somebody told me that the Beatles are going to be on Ed Sullivan Sunday night, uh-huh. and I said, "Who are they?" And I said, "You got to tune in." That's where it started. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, ladies, I hope you have a great time tonight. I appreciate you stopping by and talking to me. You want to give a shout out to anyone?
Just all the class of 1967.
Yeah, we're sorry you didn't make it, mm-hmm. and hopefully we get to do this again. Number 60.
We're going to try. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Appreciate you. Our next guest are Patty Statzer and Tom Carr. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Good
to be
here.
And you guys are on the committee, the planning committee, and that takes a lot of work, doesn't it? I mean, and you're doing it every 5 years?
Yes, and Chuck and I have actually been planning this for the last 4 years. After the 50th reunion, the Beckley people said, no more.
Oh.
And so we got together last summer, and there were, 20, 25 of us,
mm-hmm.
and we decided the out-of-towners, with the exception of Pete Tirico, would do it. And so we decided on a date, made a reservation here at Tamarack, and put a website up for registration in January, and off we went.
This has been probably one of the most organized situations I've been involved in. Everything just clicked just like that, and everybody on the committee was so excited to do it. We were just so energized about it, and everybody wanted to do it on there, and then, I mean, they wouldn't leave anybody alone because they wanted as many people as they could to come. We all did, and it was, they would give us a count every so often. Well, so-and-so is coming, and so-and-so is attending this, and it just was a fun thing to do. We enjoyed each other doing it, and we enjoyed our jobs, too.
And we had several Zoom meetings, and that's the way we communicated, and it worked very well that way.
Do you live out of town? Where do you live?
I live in Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond?
Live in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Yeah. So you guys aren't too far away, but thank God for social media.
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had good memories of high school where you wouldn't want to do something like this.
But yeah.
Yes.
Who were some of your favorite teachers or instructors?
None of them like me, so probably none of them. No.
I like Miss Bass. I love Miss Bass.
Yes.
She was a... I guess, an advanced English teacher.
She was
and she was in charge of the drama club, and so fortunately, I guess I had a little bit of talent, and so I was usually in all the class plays and so forth, but just really nice teachers and caring people, and you don't, there are still those people in this world, but it was more like a family.
Yeah, it
more
was.
More like a family.
Yeah. You mentioned Miss Vash. Mm-hmm. She was my favorite.
Oh, I loved her. She was my favorite teacher.
She was the reason I went into English teaching. And I mean, she gave me a good talk right at the end of my senior year, and it was great. But were you in the operetta in 11th grade?
Oh, yeah. I was almost in everything there was. Yeah, you know, it was funny because there's a cute little story that Jamel tells. She said there was a play. It was pretty dramatic. I guess for high school, it was, you know, it was a level that was pretty good. And I was the lead. And she said, "Oh my God!" She said, "I prayed every night that you would stay healthy." She said, "I thought, oh, please don't make me go on there."
Tom, what were some of the things you were involved with in high school?
Well, I was really only in the Latin club. I worked part-time. I was myself and Tom Knapp. We were janitors down at the building called the law firm.
Uh-huh.
My dad worked for Bank of Raleigh, and they owned that building at that time. And he and I would go down in the evening and do a little janitorial work.
And so that didn't allow a lot of time for anything else.
No. And then in the summer, I was lifeguard at the country club. Did that for 4 or 5 years.
Well, you guys have been out of school for 55 years. What advice would you have for someone just graduated now?
I would say don't expect to be the vice president on the first day on the job. You've got to earn your keep. You've got to learn from the people who are older, take their advice.
Respect them.
Respect them. At some point in your career, you'll move up.
And I think the one of the factors that seems not, it does exist, but you cannot expect people to relate to you if you're not being kind in relating to them. This is not just a job. This is an association with whatever you're doing, and you can't just say, oh, well, it's my job. You have to put yourself into it to be successful from it, and the people that you're talking to or helping, they have to know that, and if they know that and they trust you, then they will come to you. It could be a store that you buy a tie from, but it could also be a medical center. It's not just a cold job. I check in, I put my time card in, and I put it out. You have to have a give of yourself.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yep.
Well, what kind of music did you listen to when you were back in the 60s?
Well, I took piano from Don Boyd. I'm more of the 30s, 40s. Kind of music. That's what I play.
Gershwin?
Well, that or, you know, like Stardust or Unchained Melody or Ebb Tide. Those are things I played.
What did you like?
Oh, I like Motown. I really, really love Motown. And I have a picture of myself. I don't think I was any more than two. And anytime there was music on, I would have a brush or I had something in my hand and I'd be singing. And I would sing Dionne Warwick the most, and it was fun, and you could feel the spirit in it, and you're dancing to it, and here I am 3 years old, and I look like I just am it, man.
And they're still playing it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Four Tops and the Temptations, left was in Charleston.
I have a cute story about the Temptations. I'll be quick. There was a huge group of fraternities at WVU that would get together and have a big blowout party, and you'd really look forward to it because you're going to have the best of entertainment. This wasn't be local or anything. And so one of the fraternity guys' father was connected as an agent to, you know, down the ladder to the Temptations, and they showed up. They were there at this particular party, and if you became slightly inebriated and they'd ask for somebody to come up on the stage, you went up on the stage. That would be me. So, you know, I always say, I sang with the Temptations.
Well, you want to sing a couple lines of My Girl?
No.
We can do that.
They had to whisper the words in my ear so I could actually sing it.
Well, guys, I know you got a memorial service coming up, yeah. And I appreciate you coming by and send us a couple more later on. And
we will.
Appreciate you, and thank you for all the work you've been doing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. It's been very enjoyable.
You're coming.
I'm glad to meet you.
Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our next guest is Jerry Underwood and Danny Moore. Welcome, fellas.
Thank you. Well, you're glad to be here.
Jerry, you played a little sports in high school. I know you was a football player and baseball, track, and you look like you're in pretty good shape now. Still work out?
A little bit. I played a lot of golf. Played a lot of golf down in Myrtle Beach.
And you guys, Dan, what, did you drive a car when you went to Woodrow?
No.
You rode the bus? You walked. Where'd you live?
Pershing Avenue at Mabscott. Oh. It was just right across the tracks.
And how about you, Jerry? Did you drive?
No, well, I didn't drive. Generally rode with Slugger White. Slugger's mom worked at the Appalachian Power Company, and we rode to school with Sarah or Cotton.
Uh-huh. I guess you just, after practice and stuff, you just walked home. And
I generally did. There's only one car in the family, and my dad was away at work, so I used Pat and Charlie to get home.
Dan, what's one thing in high school you wish you'd have done different?
Probably study instead of daydreaming.
Do you have a favorite teacher?
No.
No? Anybody?
I hated high school. I was a daydreamer. I couldn't wait to get out and be on my own. And I joined the Army. As you know, the draft was wide open. I didn't want to get drafted. I was too lazy to study. So I joined the Army, and 2 weeks after we graduation, I was at Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Wow. And you were in the Navy, weren't you?
I was in the Navy. Went to Beckley College for a year, Marshall for a year, and then I was in the Navy and rode submarines out of Charleston, South Carolina.
You went into law enforcement after you got out of the Army.
I did. I spent 3 years in the Army and Special Forces, got out, went to work at Beckley Police Department 25 years, retired from there as a lieutenant, and as you know, got elected sheriff 2 terms of Raleigh County, and then I am now, and until December 31st, I'm the clerk of Raleigh County.
Yeah. And what made you think about getting into politics?
I've always liked law enforcement. And I was hired at Baltimore City Police Department while I was in service. But, you know, you come home, and I didn't want to leave again. And that's how come I joined Beckley Police Department. And then I seen some things in the county that I didn't like. And so if you don't like something, do something about it. So I ran for sheriff.
Jerry, you down in Flip-Flop Nation.
Flip-Flop Heaven.
Selling real estate.
Yes.
How's the real estate business down
Absolutely
there?
Absolutely on fire.
I reckon. What are you going to do with all that money?
My wife and I are going to travel and enjoy ourselves.
What kind of music did you guys listen to when you were younger?
Oh, man, the best. What do you mean, the 60s? Man, the best music.
We had the fastest cars, the prettiest girls, and absolutely the best music.
Did you do the cruising, the Pete and Bob's?
Henry's, Pete and Bob's, Phil's, King Tut, El Cid, or Country, I forget what it was called now, down by Honey and the Rock.
Town and Country.
Town and Country.
Yep.
That was mostly Shady Boys, though. We didn't go down there too much.
They didn't like the Beckley Boys.
No, they did.
Too well. And they still, a lot of those musicians, I mean, you're hearing the music, the Motown songs, and, of course, the Beatles when they came along. But what's the dumbest thing you ever did when you was in high school?
Oh, Lord. God. I probably couldn't
Something
tell
that
that
you could tell about.
I couldn't tell that over here. I've got a statute of limitations as I've on that.
Well, you guys have been around, you've been in Beckley, around the Beckley area most of your life, and since you've been back, did you live in Beckley when you got out of the Navy?
I got out of the Navy in 76, came back to Beckley and worked with Lilly Land Company for 3 years, and then went out to Glade Springs for 2.5 years, and then left there, and we moved to the Atlanta area, and I was over there 35 years before moving over to Myrtle Beach 4 years ago.
Wow. The coaches that you had in high school, Jerry, Did you have some good coaches? Did you think there were good coaches?
I thought Vic Pelish was a good coach. I didn't much care for Ken Wheeler.
Uh-huh.
I felt like if we'd have had a good football coach, we'd have had a lot better team. Then my career in Beckley, I think Jim McNish was far and away the best coach I ever had, Beckley Junior High.
As far as a shout-out, if you were going to give a shout-out to somebody in the community, who would you give a shout-out to, Dan?
Well, Roger Wood, he has not been to any of our reunions. I grew up with Roger at Mabscott, and, you know, he was a big basketball player, and I tried to get him here, and I hope maybe on our 60th reunion he and Linda would be here.
Good. What about you, Jerry?
I'd probably shout out to Rusty Rappold, quarterback on the football team.
I see Rusty about every other day. He still works out every morning, and he does pretty good. What advice would you give someone graduating from high school right now, Jerry?
I think the best thing I did after high school, go into the service. I grew up in the Navy. I matured. I had a lot of responsibilities, and it just taught me to be an adult. And that would be my advice.
It's good, and they need need people.
Amen. I second that.
Well, guys, I appreciate you stopping by to talk to us, and you guys have a good evening, and come on
and
by.
And thank you, Wayne, for having us.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
right.
Wayne. Good thank to talk you. With you.
Nice seeing you. Our next guests are Cassie Knapp and Mary Lee Elliott, Cassie Hutton Knapp, and glad to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And first question, how was your high school experience, Cassie? Did you have a good high school experience?
I had a great high school experience. I did.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
The teacher who probably had the most impact on me that I look back and she should be my favorite teacher was Miss Wiseman.
Miss Wiseman. Mm-hmm. Wanda Wiseman, English.
She gave me confidence in a summer school class to speak in public.
That's what about you? What about you, Mary Lee?
It was a big deal.
Well, I have a few teachers that I have memories in looking back, so they stand out. And one of them is Coach Wiseman. And I had talked with Roger about this last night because the funny thing was when I heard that we were going to be doing this, I thought, well, what memories do I have? And bingo. Jump tree with Coach Wiseman. And Roger Weichel was in my class, and I really just liked him. He was such a direct, gruff kind of teacher.
Could you imagine him Elliot. And Wanda married together? I mean, they just didn't seem to.
I know.
She was
and I had her
hardcore.
For English too.
But, she was hardcore.
Yeah, English she was teacher. A good English teacher. She was, mm-hmm. And he was an experience. Mm-hmm. He was an experience, but he was a good experience. And then mm-hmm. I had Jeff Britton for English.
Yes.
And both these classes were out in the, you know, the portables.
Yeah,
porta pods.
The huts.
Yeah, the huts. And I got a lot out of his English class with literature. I learned a lot. From him. And then the other teacher that I have sweet memories of is French class with
Miss Smith.
Yes. And used to go in there and have lunch in there because I had French class mm-hmm. in there the period after lunch. And Mary Charles Lewis was mm-hmm. in that class.
Fun.
And Jimmy Tanner, which I had hoped that he was at least going to be there last night, but was in that class. And that was a good class. Mm-hmm. So I have some nice memories from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people forgot that Woodrow at that time, you had to go outside. They had the little huts. They had the
yes.
white buildings.
Uh-huh.
And it was
and
winter
it was cold
time.
It was, in the
you
winter
had to
time.
Hustle.
Yeah,
to,
it was cold.
And wear a coat. But yeah. What kind of advice would you give a graduating senior or someone? You know, the students that graduated just this past year had a hard time. I mean, we had pandemics. We had locally. We had mm-hmm. strikes. We had everything. What kind of advice would you give a graduating senior now, Cassie?
I did give advice to a graduating senior.
Good.
My 17-year-old granddaughter, Sophia Knapp, graduated straight honor student in Virginia Beach at the Law Academy at the high school. She's a nationally ranked state champion Virginia swimmer, and she's been accepted at UVA on swimming scholarship. So you'd think there would be nothing I could tell her that she would need to know. And I talked to her about being true to herself, that listen to her gut, listen to what that little bird is saying. Is it right? Is it wrong? Am I going to regret what I'm saying? Am I going to be proud of myself? And that's they just have to learn to be true to themselves.
That's good advice. What about you, Mary Lee?
And I have grandchildren in college, too. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing I've focused on, let me just say this. These kids coming out of high school today seem to be so much smarter mm-hmm. than we were.
I know.
I'm amazed at their knowledge, and I'm amazed at the academics and their challenges. And I feel mm-hmm. that they have greater challenges than I did when I went away to college. I feel that they feel like they're under more pressure with their academics yeah. because of they're so much more exposed with the internet. With so much information, and I, with my grandchildren, I've seen the impact and the constant pressure of academics and feeling like, you know, they've got to achieve. So my advice is, be true to yourself, mm-hmm. Stay focused, mm-hmm. and more than just college. My advice to young people today, to young women in particular, mm-hmm. is stay the course, find your path. Become a whole person that you can be in being successful with your life before you feel like you enter into a relationship and mm-hmm. and into marriage. I think everybody has to be a whole person.
Yeah.
Where did you hang out when you were in high school? Did you have certain places?
Where did we hang out?
You know, I can't say that I really hung out a lot.
We had a little tight group of friends yeah. called the Honey Dibs.
The Honey Dibs?
The Honey Dibs.
There were 24 of us.
Yeah.
God.
And we did. And we were always at somebody's house having a sleepover.
Yep. Slumber parties.
Slumber parties.
Well, and
it was always more than one of us together. You know, we were always, somebody was
always
together.
And back then, that's when the sub-dip clubs were a thing in school. That's what, you know, the school dances each year, there was during the holidays, there was the snowball dance and the New Year's dance. Mm-hmm. And those were put on by the sub-dip clubs.
Mm-hmm. And we started in seventh grade raising money for those dances.
To pay for the dances. So that was really...
It was like a sorority of sorts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is what they were.
And we worked to earn the money to put the, mm-hmm. the dance on. And that was really the folk. That
we
was the social
We had bake
focus.
Sales. We did yeah. car washes. We yeah. we worked our little buns
yeah,
off
we did.
Raising money.
We had our meetings and we... had the plans
right.
with the meetings.
My
on
mother
what we were
was
doing.
One of our sponsors.
yeah, to raise the money, yeah. so we always had plans going.
Well, you two are friends, close friends.
We've been friends since the first week of school in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can answer this. Which one has the biggest ego?
I don't know.
I think it could be a toss-up. Marilee and I... are both very strong, independent women. We've had businesses, we've raised families, we've done most of it, haven't we?
Yeah, we've explored along the way.
We have done it in spite of ourselves, and yeah. we have done it for ourselves.
Well, good for you.
And that says a lot.
We've gone from the roller skating and hiking in the woods when we were young to...
We weren't going to bring that up.
What's one thing, Mary Lee, that you're most proud of? You've been out of high school for 55 years, and what's the one thing that you're most proud
Probably
of?
Probably my children, my grandchildren.
What about you, Cassie?
Getting a lump in my throat. I'm most proud of the fact that when my mom and dad and I moved here when I was in seventh grade, so I didn't have the elementary school friends that everybody had here. And the first weekend we were here was the first Sunday weekend before school started. We went to the Methodist Temple to church, and there was my mom and dad found my Sunday school class and put me in it, and I didn't know anybody. And that's where I met a fellow named Tom Knapp. He was kicking my butt in the back of my chair in Sunday school class. And I am most proud of the fact that he and I, through thick and thin, ups and downs, tears and laughs, joy and sorrow, through junior high, high school, and college, we married, we have two wonderful children, we have five grandchildren, and he died 20 years ago.
Wow,
at 52 of lung cancer. So people say to me, he died so young. How do you do this? I said, well, I've had him since we were 12. So I'm proud of how he and I worked really hard to stay together. And there were a lot of bumps in the road, but we did it.
You did.
That's great.
We did.
Well, listen, ladies, I appreciate you stopping by and talking to us, and I hope you have a nice evening and got a lot of memories and a lot of people to look forward to.
We do.
She wants to take a picture here.
Okay. She does.
Our next guests are Roger Weichel and Francis Edwards. Congratulations for making it to the 55th reunion, and glad to have you guys.
Oh, we're happy to be here.
Yes.
We've had fun over the last 24 hours and getting
well, Roger, you played Little League Baseball. I think you pitched for the Giants.
I did.
I remember you. I played over with the Braves with John Wooten and that bunch and Mike Garton and a few of those. But I remember you were a terror there on the mound at that time.
Yeah, until we got to the All-Star game, and then I got hammered out of the game. So,
did you play any after Little League?
I played Babe Ruth.
Did you?
But I didn't play Warren Williams, or I didn't play high school.
Now, did you have a brother?
I did. My older brother, Rodney, graduated in 61.
So, yeah, I heard that.
Now, he did play on the basketball.
And team. Francis, were you related to the Dr. Edwards?
Yes, those are my folks.
Okay,
yep.
Okay. My wife used to work with them. I love those people, I tell you. But what kind of activities were you involved with in high school?
Well, let's see, all the clubs, but mainly the Eagles Dispatch. I was editor of that for senior year for the school newspaper.
Did you ever try to think about going into journalism?
I thought about it a couple times, particularly after I started off in physics, and that wasn't panning out. I actually thought about going into journalism or scientific journalism at the time before I got into computers.
Journalism's not a good thing to go into right now.
No.
This time, I think we're losing our newspapers. I'm not sure it's the future is now. But what about you, Rod?
I was in sports most all of the time, the year round, either playing or being a helper with managing and stuff. Or I got an injury in my wrestling career that ended that, a back injury that kept me out a while. But, yeah, and then I was in the clubs, the Key Club and Junior Historians and those kind of things. I felt like our high school provided us with a lot of opportunities.
There was a lot of diversity and
activities.
What about the favorite teacher? Did you have any, Francis?
For me, it's kind of torn between mainly Lanier Radcliffe for algebra. We talked about Preach Wiseman enough, and probably Doug Schwank in physics and so forth. So that got me looking into sciences and math as a career.
What about you?
Probably the humanities more, the civics, the social studies, the history, geography. I got a passion for how people live and how they work and how that affects all their activities. But I think mainly Ms. Vass in English, because she had us doing things that, you know, I got 3 degrees past high school, and I always had done things in her class, writing essays about literature and reading Shakespeare that, you know, a lot of kids that were in classes in college and later with me, they'd never heard of, and we've been doing that kind of stuff since we're in the seventh grade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I felt like we got a good education, and we learned to read and write and the basics, and gave us a good foundation.
Yeah, I think Ms. Vass had a big influence on me. I became an English teacher because of her, actually, and her encouragement. But what kind of music did you listen to when you were in high school? Did you listen to music?
I think it was Beach Boys. It was Beatles were kind of on the side, but it was Beach Boys and, I've forgotten, whatever normal rock was at the time.
Motown was me. That,
yes.
That was, you know, I was a big, you know, Temptations four top. I still think My Girl from the Temptations ought to be the national anthem, or at least the relationship anthem. And I, you know, like Francis said, I kind of held the British invasion out here on the outside. I was more true to the Motown boys.
Yeah, the Motown is still solid. I mean, I know it's not the original members, but the Temptations and the Four Tops, and I mean, they're still playing. They were in Charleston a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they did that stage show that I I couldn't afford to go to New York and see it, and it's already closed down. But you remember any local groups that played back then? Yeah, Danny Bailey in our class had a group of guys called the Esquires, and Mike George was drumming with them for a while. But then they paired up with some guys and formed a group called the Imperials that were real popular around here. And they went off one year. We thought they were big time. They went off to Cleveland and spent the whole summer playing in a nightclub up there.
They had their own bus, didn't they?
Yeah, they were really good. And then even went off to college, and one of the bars down there brought them down to Huntington. And
you don't live around here?
No, I'm in Maryland now.
What part of Maryland?
Rockville.
Rockville.
Okay, I live in Rock Hill, two words, South Carolina, which is just down past south of Charlotte. So.
Rock Hill used to have a huge softball tournament down there years ago. I mean, it was like big time. I never got to go on that trip, but that was softball was huge at that time. If you had to give any advice to a graduating senior nowadays, what would you tell them?
I think it's enjoy all the opportunities you've got, make use of them, learn from your experiences, learn from other people's experiences. Know you're going to make some mistakes, learn from it, and go on.
There you go. I think mine is not to be to get rid of your tunnel vision, not to be bound up by things that restrict you. Test yourself, try new things, learn about experiences from other people, talk to people who are not like you and learn from them, and don't be easily swayed to make bad choices or anything. I'm not saying that, but I believe learning about people that are different from you is the key to our survival on this little planet of ours. Cultural intelligence, what I like to call it.
Good advice, fellas. Well, I appreciate you guys stopping by and talking to me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the evening, and she wants to take a picture of us.
We're looking forward to her. Oh, boy.
Our next guests are Suzanne Clay Cole and Dreema Ellis Thompson. Glad to have you ladies. And Where'd you come from? How far did you travel to get here?
I came from Gainesville, Georgia.
Dreema?
Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania and Georgia. When you went to high school, were you involved in any activities, Suzanne?
I was in chorus, and I played basketball for a year.
Oh, yeah. Miss Phillips was the coach?
No, Miss Manning.
Okay, yeah. Miss Manning.
Lou Manning.
And what'd you do?
I was in chorus, and I think that's where Suzanne and I met, and then I played volleyball.
It seems like that the most people that come to reunions are chorus and band people for some reason. I don't know why, but maybe it's because they had the best experiences in high school. Who were some of your favorite teachers, Dreema?
Mrs. Gerald was one of my favorite teachers. Actually, I like Miss Manning, and I had several favorite teachers. I was trying to think of my English teacher. I can't remember her name, but I really enjoyed her too.
Miss Gerald was she taught like distributive ed type stuff, and she was still on the staff at Woodrow when I was teaching in the early 70s. An excellent teacher. I mean, I have to tell Chuck a few things about her that I remember. But what about you?
As a sophomore, I had Mrs. Smith for English, and I really liked her. And I loved Coach Wiseman for geometry.
But you were in chorus. Did you participate in any of the operettas or anything like that?
We did.
Yes, we did.
We did.
You had Tom Sawyer, I think, was one of the...
We had something about Streetcar. I know the people on the bus, something about Streetcar. I remember that, trolleys or something. We did an operette on that. That might have been the ninth grade, but in high school we were in chorus and we did a lot of the entertainment for different things.
Uh-huh.
We sang Graduation.
Miss McClure was a chorus teacher. I remember the... operetta when they did Tom Sawyer, and Paul Raglan was I think maybe may have been Tom. I don't know whether you remember that, but she got mad when they were doing the operetta in front of the student body, and she was pounding on the stage and hollering at him, and I think that was she might have ended his career too.
She was very strict.
something that was going on.
What about, what kind of music did you listen to when you were in high school? I know we had the Beatles and stuff.
Yeah, we had the Beatles, and we had a lot of rock and roll music back then. And dance hall was mostly, sometimes we'd have some slow dances, which was nice. We had a lot of rock and roll, but we'd go to dance hall and enjoy that too with some other Pat Boone type things.
Well, I know in the ninth grade they had... used to have the dance halls at lunchtime. I don't know where they...
Down in the gym.
Yeah, at Woodrow, we didn't have a cafeteria. You had to take your lunch and go eat in the class you had after lunch,
right,
or something like that. It was and if you had a class out in one of the huts outside, it could be a pretty harsh walk in the wintertime.
When I was a senior, a couple of friends and I ate with Mr. Trent in his classroom every day, because we didn't have a place to eat lunch.
No,
wherever you could find.
Of course, now at the Park Junior High, they have a cafeteria where the old gym was. Mm-hmm. And did you do anything, any dumb things when you were in high school that you remember?
Skipped school one day with my boyfriend. I got in trouble with my mother. That was all.
What
we were pretty disciplined.
I did that too once. Sally Winter and Susan Casale and mm-hmm. I planned this big day. We were going to Flat Top Lake, and Susan's uncle had a place there, Easy Ashworth, and his daughter Lila was going to leave us the key to the boathouse. It was so cold that day. We took our swimsuits. It was so cold, and we couldn't go back. We had to stay somewhere all day, so we had to sit in that cold boathouse.
Oh, wow.
Till time to go home.
Did you have a best friend in high school?
I did, yeah. Her name was Jeannie Bryant, and Suzanne was one of my best friends as well, but we developed a friendship more probably after high school.
What kind of advice would you give a high school senior, Suzanne?
Really need to focus on learning everything they can and not just the grades and getting through. I know I focused more on grades than what I actually learned.
Yeah. What about you, Drew?
I focused on grades a lot because I wanted to graduate with high honors, which I did. I just worked on that a lot. But to give advice, I would say learn. Like Suzanne said, just learn. Soak it all up and learn. And don't be distracted with, you know, all these things that kids are distracted with nowadays. I mean, they're on their phones. They're doing all this stuff and have their earphones in and listening to who knows what. And I just think they need to focus on learning so they can be a productive individual out in the world.
Did you have how did you get to school? Did you ride a bus or drive? Or?
I lived on the other side of town on East C Street off South Kanawha. But my grandmother lived on Granville right behind the school. So when I got to the 10th grade, I started staying with her during the week. She was by herself. And then I'd go back home on weekends, and that was great.
Yeah, I rode a bus.
If there's one thing you could do over in high school, what would it be, Jeremy?
Date a different guy. No, I don't know that I would. I had a really good high school experience. And there's not too much I think I would do over. I really soaked it up. Like I said, I was interested in learning and the grades, but I had a good experience, so it'd be hard to do any of that over. I've got good memories.
Uh-huh. Good. What about you,
Suzanne? Same here.
All right, I'm going to put you to the test. Did you have a secret crush on anybody when you were in high school?
I did.
You want to tell us all?
Andy Fox.
What about you?
No, I didn't have a secret crush. I was going with the person I eventually married.
And you're still married? Secret.
No. No. We were for about 25 years, but that ended.
Well, ladies, I appreciate you coming by and talking to us, and I hope you have a great evening and enjoy the 55th and look forward to the 60th.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next two guests are Jim Craigett and Mike McCoy. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Wayne. Glad
Thanks
to be
for having me.
Are you guys both from Crab Orchard?
Yes, we are.
Well, I won't hold that against you, but did you both box?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We boxed each other even.
Yeah.
Wow. What weight class were you in high school?
Well, I was a flyweight and a bantamweight.
Yeah. 112 and 118, yeah.
What was it about Crab Orchard that had all the boxers? And incidentally, I saw where Paul Bachman died.
I didn't know that.
The other day. Yeah, and he was a heavyweight, wasn't he?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he just had passed away. But what was it about the – how did you get together, Mark?
Well, it was just, you know, what we did – it was like a rite of passage in Crab Orchard. It seemed like everybody would go and give a shot to Golden Gloves, and someone would get knocked out in the first round. And Jim and I, we lucked out pretty good. But what we did, we had a trainer named Charlie Sensabaugh, and we fought for Leno's Barbershop, Bob Lowry. And we trained mostly in Jimmy Bonham's basement because he had a speed bag down there and a heavy bag, and then we'd get in spar. And now we fought in the Gold Gloves, and that was before the AAU got into it.
Yeah.
Back then, there was no headgear. You didn't have to hit on the white part of your gloves and everything. And I think that's what probably killed boxing and Beckley, because they brought up the Olympic style, and people don't like that. They like to see some guy get the crap beat out of him.
Yeah. Of course, Jimmy Bonham, Danny Gross, Danny Graham, all those guys.
Wayne Sullivan, he was before us.
Wayne Sullivan.
And he had a good career, amateur career. And he got his jaw broke when he went to Huntington one time, but he had a real good record.
Uh-huh.
And he was a featherweight.
He was probably the best boxer to come out of Crab
Orchard. Yeah, around 130. Really? Yeah.
Did any of those guys go on and fight in the Tough Man contest, or was y'all done?
No. That was way after us, really.
Yeah.
We just, people in Crow Orchard, we just hung in there for 2 or 3 years, maybe, the max, and then moved on.
Yeah. So you're the out-of-town guys, actually. So how was your high school career when you went to high school? How'd you feel?
I'm glad you asked that.
It was a culture shock. Yeah. Really, I mean, down in Crow Orchard, everybody knew everybody. We had time to get to know each other. When we went to Bailey Junior High, it was just herded like cattle through their one-way halls, and you didn't get to meet people really that well, and you didn't have time, not like you did in grade school anyway.
Yeah, we probably had about 40 or 50 in our class in Crab Orchard, and they just shot us up to Beckman. I didn't see anybody that I knew for that year.
And you're only there 1 year.
Exactly.
Right. And they have you most of the time at the old Beckley Junior High going one way in the hallway.
Yep. Yeah. And you had to hustle there. I remember I had mechanical drafting from Ross Hutchins.
Yeah. But as far as any teachers in high school, did you have anybody that you liked better than others, or anybody that stood out, Mike?
Well, I probably didn't. I was the worst student there. And I remember Mrs. Sparks, Herman Sparks, we had his wife as a teacher in the seventh grade. And then Miss Griffith, we had her sister as a seventh grader, too. So we got to go to see those two people. But I always liked Mr. Tramp. Of course, I only had him for homeroom, but I thought he was a top-notch guy.
Yeah. And he'd been an athlete in high school and college, and he was kind of easy to talk to.
Yeah.
What about you, Jim?
No, I didn't really get acquainted with that much with people up there already. It didn't seem like it. I mean, I don't know. It just didn't have that much time for in between classes and all that. And lunchtime was a very short period. All you could do is just eat and go back to school class and all that. So,
do you think that the education at Woodrow helped you later in life?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, probably.
We they were stern disciplinaries there back in those days. Everybody had to look the same. You couldn't have real long hair or couldn't grow no facial hair, and you had to dress properly to suit them.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I know they'd send some girls home where skirts would be too tight. And the boys had to, sometimes something was got fashionable, not wear no socks. But we had to wear socks. Yeah. They'd check and all that. So we learned discipline, just like military, really, pretty much so.
Did either one of you go in the military after?
Yeah, no, in the Air Force.
Yeah, we're going to go in and get basic training together. And I went and failed my physical, so it wouldn't take me. And so the only thing I got out of the federal government, I got to go up to Ramey's Grill and have lunch on the government. That's where they took all the vacations.
Food wasn't that good either.
Yeah, it wasn't.
What'd you end up doing after high school?
I spent almost 30 years with the National Enquirer. And so,
at the what?
The National Enquirer.
Really?
Inquiring minds want to know. Yeah, I ended up being an operations manager I was over like a third of the country. There was three of us. And I had from Maine down to South Carolina and over to Michigan, Kentucky, something like that.
How'd you learn the printing business?
Well, I never got close to the printing business.
Okay.
Yeah, and back when I started, the reporters, they were revolving doors. And 1 week they were workhorse, next week they were gone. But the thing about Generoso Pope, who owned the National Enquirer, he was a smart guy too. He went to MIT, worked for the CIA, but he also had some mob connections. And the best thing ever happened to him, the death of Elvis made him wealthy. We had it first come out the little old magazine. It's called Weekly World News. It was like, I called it an adult funny book. He talked about the Martian boy and all this stuff, all that weird stuff. And when Elvis died, he got his crew together, and he went down to Memphis and camped down there. And they found Elvis's cousin, a young lady there, and they would have probably given her any kind of money she asked for, but she asked for $35,000, and they planted a camera in her purse. So when she went through the line there, started clicking like crazy, and Elvis, he has the only actual photograph of Elvis Presley living in the Costa. And they used to keep it in a climate-controlled safe.
Wow.
And that's been 1977 when he died.
Yeah, August.
But well, so it was a fun job sometimes, and it was terrible other times.
Yeah.
And
well, Jim, you got involved with golf somewhere along the line, didn't you?
Well, me and Mike both, we used to caddy over at Twin Oaks, and then both of us was more interested in making money rather than learning the game. And then, we did play, but we didn't have a passion for it necessarily. And then, I don't know, when I got around 30 years old, I had some time on hands, and so I took it up seriously.
Uh-huh.
And just started practicing a lot, and I just had a passion to be better, to get better. And I always worked on the game until I could play very well.
Well, you were the senior champion.
Yeah, I was senior champion in the silver division.
In West Virginia?
In the state champion in 64. Yeah. And then 2 years ago, in 2020, I think, I was the gold runner-up in state championship, which is pretty strong. I mean,
uh-huh.
It's
yeah,
a pretty strong, tough competition. You play match play. You don't play by strokes. You whoever wins a hole.
Mike, you still play?
Mm-hmm. No, I never did get it to Jimmy. At one time, I got down where I was hovering around 40, 41, and I went down to Smith Mountain Lake to play with some guys, and after about three holes, I was like 7 over par. I got mad, jerked my bag off, said I quit. And I walked back to the clubhouse and didn't realize about a mile back there. And I called my wife, told her to come and get me. I made up my mind not to play it. I played one more time after that, and a guy shanked a shot and hit me right in the thigh. And for about a week, I had an imprint of a golf ball on my thigh. And I said, I'm done. I'm not going to go anymore.
Well, I've been kind of taking an informal survey. What kind of music did you guys listen to when you were in high school?
We loved rock and roll. Yeah. Woolly Bully and all that. Just Woolly Woolly was so popular.
Yeah. How about the Beatles when they came around?
You know, well, we used to go to Redneck, I guess. We didn't like Beatles because they had long hair. Mm-hmm. But then after we matured some, I loved them after I got a little bit older.
Yeah.
But as in high school, I said, I'm long hair guys. I didn't care for them.
Yeah. I liked the Beatles, but I didn't necessarily like the British movement.
Right.
All those other groups.
Yeah.
You know, I was still a Motown guy or something like that. But what kind of advice would you give to someone graduating nowadays, Mike?
Do what I did. But I'd say, hey, you know, work hard, have your plan, and then work your plan. Study the books first, and then have playtime. There's time for both, except you have to plan it out the way that you want it to take place. And I know me, I was terrible. I was a terrible student. I didn't realize how dumb I was till I got out of school. And I did go get an associate degree. And so I made it halfway through. But yeah, just tell the young people, and don't accept anything from anybody. There's so much peer pressure out there. And I've got a grandson that's just 19, and he's going to Radford. And I told him, anybody offers you something, don't take it. If they give it to you, get rid of it. I said, Ethan, his name's Ethan. I said, Ethan, this crap out here today will kill you. It's not going to make you high like it was when we were growing up. It'll kill you.
Yeah.
And I said, just do that and stay with your plan. If you do that, you'll be successful.
Good advice. Jim, what would you give?
I think you should listen to positive people. There are a lot of negative people you could talk to in your life who will not encourage you, not one bit. Mm-hmm. And some of them will not be pleased that you made it, let's say. You know, sometimes you quit a job you think is the best thing for you, but you take a risk to better yourself, and you think it out. Don't be discouraged and say, oh, you messed up. You know, you should have stayed there. But you got to take a risk to better yourself.
Absolutely. Guys, I appreciate you coming by and talking to me, and I hope you enjoy. Jimmy Bonham's not here tonight, is he?
No, I saw him today. We had breakfast together. He's not feeling well. Yeah, he had an extended chemo treatment up at WVU for 35 straight days. And he's just he's down, he's lost some weight. You know, he was, I guess, what's called fighting weight, about 210, 215, and so now he's about 180. So you can see a difference in his weight, but he still feels good and doesn't, sounds like, I'm sure he'd still want to mix it up with somebody.
Yeah,
I saw him this morning.
Yeah, if you talk to him again, tell him Wayne Bennett said, hey, I appreciate that. All right, well, thank you very much.
That concludes our first set of interviews from Woodrow Wilson class of 1967, 55th reunion. But don't fret, we'll have more interviews on our next program. It's been fun reminiscing and laughing and sharing advice. Until next time, remember, you're not dead yet, you're not done yet.